Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Hello, lovelies, and welcome to another edition of LGBT in the Ring, your rainbow bastion for all things pro wrestling. I am your host, Brian Bell, here with you once again on the Outsports Podcast Network, and we have a very fun one in store for you today. Of course, Journo January will roll along here today with our guest Chewy Harris, formerly of the Grit and Glitter podcast, formerly of the Pro Wrestling Torch, and we delve into their experiences at both of those outlets, as well as many other things about, you know, their desire to what they want to do in covering pro wrestling going forward, what opportunities they might have on the horizon, who knows. But just a really fun conversation that also kind of gets a bit into Waffle House territory, which I'm always down for Waffle House territory. So very excited for all of y'all to check that out here in just a minute. Before we get there, though, it's been an eventful week, shall we say, in the world of pro wrestling. I mean, obviously, Speedball Mike Bailey winning the Battle of Los Angeles was a momentous thing to see, but obviously the thing that is dominating most of the minds of pro wrestling fans right now, I believe, is all the turmoil, the corporate turmoil around WWE and the return of Vince McMahon to the executive chairman position of the board of directors there, and of course all of the reports flying around out there about, you know, the company being basically sold in principle to the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund, reports that are countering that as well. So like, there's just a lot of unknowns right now regarding the future of WWE in a lot of ways. I mean, the things we do know, Stephanie McMahon has resigned before the vote to put Vince McMahon back into his executive chairman role. Happened, and yeah, it's a really infuriating situation personally. I stated this on the podcast Twitter account that if Vince McMahon was a member of the board of directors of WWE come WrestleMania season, we will not be covering WrestleMania this year on this show, and I'm standing by that. That's just a personal stance for myself. I refuse to do that. In regarding all of the reports around the potential sale to Saudi Arabia, obviously that holds a lot of different outcomes and connotations and relationships to this show specifically, but not just this show, but more so the community that this show is meant to uplift and empower. But I'm also aware that the LGBTQ community would not be the only marginalized community that would be heavily negatively affected potentially by a sale to the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund. I am holding my thoughts until that is known, like until we have an actual announcement from the company and that sort of thing to really delve into exactly everything that I'm feeling, and trust me, it is hard to hold back. those thoughts, because there's a lot of them. There are a lot of emotions around that. And I will explore them and share them a bit in due time. But for now, I feel the need to just kind of hold that stuff in until we have a definite answer on this stuff. But I think it's pretty safe to say where some parts of where I'm going to land. I mean, there's a reason why we continually criticize both the government of Saudi Arabia and WWE for its relationship with the government of Saudi Arabia on this show. But we will hold that in limbo for right now as we continue to monitor the situation going forward. But I did want to just touch on that here, because I think it would be remiss if we didn't touch on it, since it is such a huge story that is happening right now in the pro wrestling world. One more thing I wanted to touch on before we get to the interview with Chewy is that, you know, we were kind of caught up in Wrestle Kingdom stuff last week and neglected to mention the passing of one Don West, someone who was integral to the early days, the first 10 years really of Impact Wrestling. You know, someone that I watched for years, and grew a very strong fondness for his presence on TNA broadcasts and all the other facets that he worked in with that company. I don't know, there's just something special about everything that he touched when it came to the pro wrestling world. And he wasn't in it for very long. You know, he never was a wrestling fan. And he wasn't a wrestling fan before getting into pro wrestling. But I don't know, there's just like, there's a certain like genuineness there. And I just wanted to take a moment and offer condolences for myself and from the show for his unfortunate passing. And I don't even really know what else to say. Well, let's jump into my conversation here with Chewy. What's up, guys, gals, and non-binary pals? Welcome back to LGBT in the Ring, and we continue Journo January this week with someone who I had the pleasure of meeting at Pride of Vibe weekend last year, someone who is in my mind at least, one of the most interesting people to follow in terms of people that are absolutely in love with some of the meanest people in all of pro wrestling. And I say that with all of the love, because let's be real, who doesn't love Mr. Darius Carter and Mr. Shooter Killian McMurphy? But you also know them from Grit and Glitter. Please welcome Chewy Harris to the show. How are you doing, Chewy?
First of all, President Killian McMurphy.
You're right.
Minister of Propaganda. I need to inform you of that. Secondly, I'm doing wonderful. Georgia's national champions again, and... Yeah, I can't complain.
Look, that Georgia game was sick. Like, I'm from Georgia originally. I'm a Bulldogs fan too. Like, that game was just like catharsis.
I'm doing really good. It's been a great week so far. Even when Paul was like, I don't even like college football. I just wanted Georgia to lose so badly. And it was the exact opposite. I'm like, exactly. How you feel now, bitch?
But no, like, I was wondering, because, like, when, like, obviously people, like, listening can't see this, but when, like, Chewy popped up on screen with the Georgia sweatshirt, I was like, okay, I didn't ask you about this while we were off air chatting, but, like, I didn't realize that you had any connection to the Bulldogs at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, because going back, like, it comes from just living in Tallahassee, and I got to Tallahassee... mostly rooting for Florida. And then just somewhere in all the time, I'm just like, I kind of hate all these people in Florida and their college teams. Like, they're just all annoying. So then I was like, well, who do Florida people hate? Georgia. All right, well, and I love South Georgia. Like, the best Waffle Houses in the country are in South Georgia. So it's like, that's my favorite restaurant. I love South Georgia. I dated a bulldog, unfortunately. Like, it just clicked.
I did not realize that you lived in Tallahassee, but I guess I should have made that connection because if I'm not mistaken, and please correct me if I'm wrong, like, have I seen you talking about going to FAMU at some point?
Yeah, we
Yeah,
did.
okay.
You said you, where were you from, like Moultrie or
I'm
something?
from Moultrie, yeah.
Yeah, that's when I remember telling my friends, like, damn, all this time, we had no idea. We were just like across the state line.
Yeah. Like
Yeah,
my
that's.
grandparents still like my grandma still lives in Tallahassee.
God bless Tallahassee. Well, Tallahassee, but not the rest of Florida. Rest of Florida can. And not
Yeah.
the governor mansion or the
Oh yeah,
state.
no. We'll take that little sector, put a fence around it, and not include it in the place of love that we
Perfect.
have for Tallahassee.
No, my.
No.
Okay.
No, but like that was I think that was another part of like kind of getting to know you a little bit that really intrigued me because like that reaction that you had, like I don't meet many people that know the area where I'm from either. And I think that I don't know, it was just really interesting because like no one else would know if I like mentioned like Moultrie, Georgia. They would never like what the hell is that place? Like that sounds made up.
And see, I'm the boring person where I'm like, we done seen all the Walmarts in Tallahassee. Like, why don't we just go to Thomasville for no reason? And it's like, well, we Thomasville, why don't we go to Bainbridge for no reason? And I seen they just like going to all these little towns for no reason. And I'm just like, well, they got a Waffle House. I want to eat at all of these Waffle Houses to see which one is my Waffle House over here. Still the best ones in Cairo. So.
Oh, Cairo, Georgia. That man, you are hitting all these like sentimental spots for me. Like my parents grew up in Cairo.
Yeah, I know all of them. I know everything's once you get to Ray Cross and going up. That's why I'm like, the rest of Georgia can go to hell. But that
Yeah.
strip, I do love it down there.
No, I understand. I haven't been down there in a while, but I need to get back there. And as for like Waffle House, it's like I'm partial to Moultrie just because like I went there for my 8th birthday because I was that kid.
That's why I went to the Waffle House. If anybody's in Tallahassee listening, on Tennessee Street. For my 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th birthdays.
All right, you
I
got
love
me beat. You're topping
Waffle House.
me all over the
It
place here, too.
is my favorite restaurant. I've been to Waffle House in 12 states. If you got a Waffle House, I will come find you.
That is probably the one thing I miss the most about being on the West Coast now is that there are no Waffle Houses within like driving distance anywhere. I mean, I'm half a country away from like the closest one, I think. And
Oh.
it bothers me. I need that Waffle House experience at like on like a weekly basis in my soul, and I just can't get it anywhere out here.
No one told you to move out west. You think?
I'm not denying that. I'm just saying, like, I have my reasons to move
Well,
out here, but
see, the one reason I ain't never been moved out west is just no Waffle Houses.
I moved out here thinking there might like Village M might still be a thing, and that shit's like gone by the wayside.
Like everything.
Yeah.
Everything wholesome, except me.
There you go. There you go. You know what? Let's talk about you a little bit. We've talked about diners and about like and South Georgia and North Florida and fuck the governor's mansion and all that shit for a while here, but like let's talk about you because like I'm excited to have you on the show and talk to you a bit more because like my real only experience with you in terms of like wrestling media is like your work that you've done with Grit and Glitter and I know that in the time between like your last appearance there and coming on the show now, like you kind of announced, like I don't know if you formally announced it, but like I know that you are no longer a part of the Glitterati. But I thought that the work that you did with Glitter was really interesting, and I wanted to kind of learn more about like kind of what drew you to do that, in a way. So of course, that all starts kind of at the beginning. Like, I'm curious to ask you, like, what was your first like memory of pro wrestling, and when did you kind of realize this is something that you might want to like invest yourself in a way?
So I'll be 40 next month. So this is about 37 years of watching pro wrestling. Like, I remember being three and my pop-pop sat me down to watch wrestling. And because he's from South Carolina. And in Maryland, we still got like Crockett and stuff on random channels. So when he would come up to see us, he would sit down and be like, this is why I root for heels, because his favorite wrestler was Arn Anderson. My favorite wrestler to this day is Arn Anderson. And it might just be because he told me we root for Arn Anderson. And I'm like, okay, we root for Arn Anderson. So for the longest time, if you ask me like who Hulk Hogan was, like I knew he existed, but I didn't know, like I hadn't seen any of that. I just knew Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson and Dusty Rhodes. And it wasn't until like way later. And I'm like, oh, that's the Hulk Hogan y'all are all talking about. Like, probably by the time, like 92 or something, I found out, oh, yeah, there is other wrestling. But the longest time, it was no, we watched USWA, we watched Crockett, or I guess NW, whatever it was called at the time. Yeah, so that was just the thing where, an old person trying to do something with a third or next generation, like, hey, I'm going to pass down something to you. And it didn't work with bowling. It didn't work with, I don't know, poker playing or horse racing or boxing, but wrestling was it. And I don't know. It's just, if you can't get in wrestling at three, that seems like the perfect age because you don't know anything. And it's just like, wait, these dudes are really, well, I thought they were really fighting. I thought they were really fighting for a long time. I was probably in high school before I realized, wait, this is fake? Like, wait, what? That, they're bleeding for God's sake. You don't just, oh, okay. But yeah, so like Southern wrestling's just always been my preferred style. When WCW was bought out, I was in college and I literally cried that day because I was like, this has been most of my life just watching WCW and it's just gone. And that's probably why I still don't really watch much WWE. I just hold it against them that they took my baby from me. But yeah, like if you wanted to know me in a nutshell, who I grew up watching wrestling, it was Arn Anderson, it was Jeff Jarrett. Fucking love Jeff Jarrett. It was Lord Steven Regal. Like those were the three people I was like, I need to watch these people. And I even like Triple H in WCW. I have no idea why. I just, any aristocratic gimmick, I just fall into it. Like, yeah, okay. Because I hate aristocrats. We all do. But in wrestling, it works. So, yeah, I Lord Steven Regal and his posse. Oh, man, I miss WCW. I fucking miss it. And then when I watch it on the network, yeah, okay.
There's a reason why it went away in those later years, but I know, like I'm with you. Like that's the stuff that I grew up on a lot too. Like, I mean, I will say, like the first thing I saw in wrestling was WWF at the time, like 95. Like I started a little bit later. Like I was 10, I think, when the first time I saw wrestling that really like hooked me in. But like I started there, but then once I learned about WCW and flipped over there, like that was my place. Because
Right.
like you said, it's a different sort of, it's a different presentation, it's a different mindset in terms of crafting the presentation as compared to the Northeast down in the South. And it's very apt that you bring up Arn Anderson as like somebody that you latched on to, because like I can go down the line, including myself, like who point to Arn Anderson as either like their favorite wrestler, one of their favorite wrestlers, or someone who was just like, oddly enough, this like inspirational figure in a way
Yeah.
for a lot of people. Like I know, like God, I'm gonna keep, I don't care if I date myself, fine. I like during my like college radio days, like I did like a sports show with one of my close friends who was also a really good, really big pro wrestling fan and just absolutely like loved like Southern wrestling and Arn Anderson. And like I think we just kept like one of the like mantras that we kept telling each other was the adversity introduces a man to himself. Like that classic like constantly used line that Arn Anderson would drop in promos, that it's just like as soon as you hear it, like goosebumps are coming up because you know what's coming next. Just that line itself is enough to like you internalize that, and you just it, it I can't tell you how many times like thinking about that line has helped me to like not just like give up and like dour like places of like mental health struggle and stuff like that. So I don't know. Arn has a special place in my heart as well.
Arn's dope. Arn. See, that's why when people would tell me wrestling's fake, I'm like, yo, but this doesn't make sense. You tell Arn Anderson he's not really fighting because, okay, maybe Undertaker's not a real fighter. I can believe that because he's not even dead. That doesn't even make any sense. Anderson, well, okay, Arn Anderson is not Arn Anderson. However, that man can fight. Like, I'm not going to challenge Arn Anderson. Shit. You can't tell me, but no, Arn Anderson is not fake. Arn Anderson is real. All his moves are real. His matches are real. He and Mike Tyson were the baddest people on the planet my entire childhood.
No, I'm right there with you. What was your favorite era of Arn? Like, are we talking like early Horseman era? Are we talking like silver dollar, like fishbowl full of silver dollars, like challenge on WCW Saturday Night era? Like,
Okay, if you put anytime Arn is on Saturday night, I'm going to watch it.
oh
But
yeah, he owned that
probably
show.
Dangerous Alliance Arn is like,
Oh.
yeah, because I was just too young to get 87, 88, 86 Horsemen. But Dangerous Alliance, I'm like 10, 11, and it's perfect for me. And it was just like, this, I didn't understand stables and stuff. I'm like, this looks like a group that's about to have all the belts. And it didn't work out that way. But it seemed like it. And you know, I was going to say, as far as Arn being inspiration, I feel like that's it because Arn's like career, just a good hand who never needed the title, just never needed it. And if you gave it to him, and what? Does that make him better? Does it make him worse? No, nah, like he's still Arn goddamn Anderson. He's still one of the greats. Where a lot of the people you consider greats, if you take their world titles away, are they still that great? Can't say that about Arn.
Yeah.
US and TV titles look like just the best belts in the world, to where I thought the US title was the pinnacle of success in pro wrestling. Yeah, I oh, Arn Anderson, I love you. Yeah, I love Arn. I love,
Yeah.
God, even when he came back in '97 or so, and he could just cut a promo that inspired you, or you felt things from what he said. And it's like you could tell when a wrestler's just doing a good promo. But Arn didn't do promos. Arn just talked to you. And you're like, yo, I want to go to battle. I man, I when I like the reason I like Darius Carter is because I see a different shade of Arn Anderson in him. Like, if Arn Anderson ever went to the UK, learned some wrestling, and came back and just was really into himself, I think you get Darius Carter. And I'm like, Darius Carter is the next iteration of that kind of character where you can move him up and down the card, and he's still going to be just viciously evil, but how the fuck can you not appreciate it?
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that. Now that you kind of point that out there, like I hadn't made that connection 100% there, but no, like I definitely see that. And like you mentioned, like Arn just being able to like just through his words, like I always go back to that the 98 Return of the Horsemen in North Carolina, where like, you have them down in tuxedos in the ring, and Arn's that promo every time I hear it, like teary-eyed. I just because like yeah, I didn't grow up in like the heyday of the Horsemen. Later, like my Horseman was like Dean Malenko and Ric Flair and Arn Anderson, and then like Pillman thrown in there, Big Michael thrown in there, like you know, like a completely different era. But like just hearing Arn talk about like the relationships that are there and like how bred into this region like that group is, like himself and even like as for all of the many many things that we can say about Ric Flair in that region, like it just hits so fucking hard. It's like I'm not necessarily always proud of like where I'm from because of reasons, but hearing Arn Anderson talk about that makes me feel a certain pride for like growing up where I grew up.
It's amazing they let him get away with being from Minnesota all that time.
I know, right?
The more I've met Minnesotans, I'm like, oh, Arn Anderson was not even close to y'all.
No, that boy got Pensacola accent all day.
Like, how the hell did we let this happen? But no, Arnold, it's just great. Yeah, that's, I don't know what it would take for him to not be my favorite wrestler also. Like, who could take that spot? I have no idea. It would have to be a fun, I don't know. I just, and he's still out there. Like, that's the thing. He's been out there my entire life. God bless him. Yeah, he's special. Yeah. And George is, I mean, there are plenty of reasons to be. You know, it'd be a shame. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm curious to ask you about, like, USWA, though, because, like, even though I grew up in the South, I never, like, I didn't get Memphis TV, like, where I was at. So, like, I'm curious to hear, like, your experiences, like, kind of growing up on Memphis as well.
Only thing, so, like, wrestling would just come on, like, you would flip channels, and it would just be a wrestling show, and you wouldn't know who it was from, or who it is, where it's from, or anything. But I remember stopping, because I thought Jeff Jarrett was Ric Flair. So I was like, oh, that's Ric Flair. I'll watch this. And then I'm like, that's not Ric Flair. Who the hell is this guy? And, you know, I wouldn't catch it weekly, but whenever it would come on, I'm like, oh, that's that Ric Flair lookalike guy. And I didn't know there was a whole crop of Ric Flair lookalikes running around. But Jeff Jarrett, like, I just liked the way that name sounded. To this day, I thought that was a fake name, because it's like, nobody could be named Jeff Jarrett. It just sounds like NASCAR or wrestling, and it just sounds fake regardless. But that, the big flowing blonde locks, I guess there's something about being a black child in the black city of Baltimore growing up. Like, you feel like, oh, I wish I had big, long, blonde, flowing hair, because all these rock bands have it and wrestlers have it and Jeff Jarrett's got it. And you're asking your friends, are you like Jeff Jarrett? Who the hell is Jeff Jarrett? Do you not watch wrestling? I know Macho Man. Who the hell is Macho Man? Like, okay. So, yeah. It would be like watching GWF. Like, I don't know where these shows would come on. I would just get home from school, and my mom or dad wouldn't be home until 8 o'clock. And I just had 4 hours to piss around, and there was wrestling on somewhere. You just had to find it. And eventually, like, my mom had a sugar daddy boyfriend who got us a satellite. And that's when it was like, whoa, there's wrestling everywhere. And they would just, like, this one channel would just show, like, random, I don't know if it was in sequential order, but you might just see, like, Abdullah the Butcher in USWA. And I had never seen Abdullah the Butcher before in my entire life. And that's when I'm like, I don't know if this is wrestling, because he's taking forks and just jabbing them in people's heads. And I loved horror movies as a kid, but I remember watching that and just being so afraid, because if you can do that, what's stopping them from doing much worse? And why isn't everybody doing this? Like, it didn't make, and that's a lot of the things about wrestling. It just never made sense to me as a kid. And I should have figured out it's probably not entirely real. But, like, how come in this match they just hit him with a baseball bat and nobody cares? Well, why don't you just bring a bat all the time? If this big guy can stab him with a fork, why don't you just bring forks to the ring? Like, let's just get this match over with. But, yeah, like, so USWA, as far as I knew, Jeff Jarrett was just the best to me. And Abdullah the Butcher, when he came around, was just terrifying. That's all I got. Like, and I'll sit down and try to watch some, and there's just something about watching 80s wrestling in 2023 now that it's hard. It's a lot harder than it used to be.
Yeah, no, I can definitely understand that.
Like, top kicks win matches, it's like, whoa, okay. We're now Canadian Destroyers are like, yeah, that's just the first move of the match. Like, who cares?
Yeah, that's just a transition thing to set up a rest hold or something. Like, yeah, you know. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to do this. We're going to do tackle, leapfrog, Canadian pile dryer, or Canadian Destroyer, and then chin lock. Sound good? Yeah, good.
Yeah. So at what point do you kind of start looking at wrestling being something that you want to get into a little bit deeper, you know, like, because at what point did you feel like wrestling media might be something that you want to step into?
So in college, I had a bunch of friends who backyard wrestled, and I figured, well, if they can do this, they started training under Marty Jannetty, who had a ring in Tallahassee. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to go with y'all. see if I want to do this. And I ran the ropes twice, hurt like hell. I did a back bump, banged the shit out of my head. And I was like, nope, I'm done. Wrestling is not going to be what I do next. And WrestleLine was a website at the time. And I just sent them an email like, look, I just want to write. I don't even care if you pay me. Like, let me just, here's just an essay of what I feel about something right now. And I think it might have been like, why you should wear wrestling t-shirts in public. Because, you know, it's like 2001. Like, you don't want to be the dorky wrestling fan. And I'm like, no, fuck that. You do want to be the dorky wrestling fan because there's a lot of other dorky wrestling fans who need dorky wrestling fan friends to be dorky wrestling fans together with. And when I got to college, it was like something you just didn't talk about. You don't want to talk about, oh, I love simulated fighting of men in tights. Like, it's just weird. And then you find your tribe and it's like, oh, wait. See, you know, you do need your tribe because this is fun. Like, this is just fun. Like, if you can go to the movies with your friends, why can't you sit down and watch simulated fighting with your friends? So I just wrote them an article and they were like, can we publish this? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And it became like a bi-weekly thing. Like, anytime you just want to write thoughts, write thoughts. And I did for a while. And then the site went down and it was like, I never thought about it again. And this fast forward 10 years or so, NWA's coming back. And I'm like, huh, I wouldn't mind watching NWA. I love that belt. Let's watch this. And the Torch didn't have any coverage of it yet. So I just sent an email to Wade Keller, like, you know, I don't know if I'll like NWA, but I'll give it a try. I'll do hits and misses. If you like it, we'll keep doing it. If you don't, whatever. And we kept doing it. And it got to the point where he's like, Kelly Wells wants to do an NWA podcast with you and somebody else. Would you be interested? I'm like, you know, at the time I'm unemployed. Like, sure. I have nothing but time. And next thing you know, like, we hit a rhythm. We were starting to just click to where things were fun. And from that, when I was like, okay, I got this here hits and misses column every week. I have the weekly podcast on WA. I really just want to talk about women's wrestling. Like, that's, I've always been mostly into women's sport. And I kind of would dip in and out of wrestling because at the time it was mostly just women getting naked in bra and panties matches. Like, this isn't wrestling. Like, I don't want to see that. But now, you know, 2015, women are wrestling everywhere. And it's like, oh, I want to talk about this. Can we talk about women wrestling? And I guess that's how Harley found me, because I just want to talk about women's wrestling. And, you know, we did a quick piece on Stardom and he was like, you want to talk about Stardom next month? And I'm like, sure. Yeah, why not? And I got to get out of the NWA coverage from the COVID shutdown. And that just kind of eased me into, well, this here women's wrestling is going on in Japan. That's not stopping, really. We got something to talk about. And it was a natural transition to where it just felt like, okay, so we had the thing in college that started the thing with the Torch, that started this thing. And it's nothing I ever consciously said, I want to be part of wrestling media. It was just something like, I like to write. I like to share opinions. I like to hear how other people think about things I like and see if maybe I like them for the same reason, different reasons, or maybe I'm missing something entirely that I've never thought about. Hey, you hold that, but I can't figure it out if we don't talk about it. So it just kind of happened. You know, it's like, who the hell would thought by 2023 wrestling media could be a thing? Like, if you weren't in the After Mag, it didn't exist. And I knew I was never going to be writing for The Wrestler, so it didn't exist. But if it wasn't for like just those late 90s websites around, yeah, I probably would never got any of it. But that's where it started. Sit in the room and just type out random thoughts to my friends. They'd read them. That's how dorky does that sound? Hey, I'm going to send you an email about what I thought about last night's Nitro. I'm sorry everybody I ever did that to. Because when I say that at almost 40 years old, I am like, wow, you really bothered your friends to say, yo, this is what I thought about segment 3 of Nitro last night. And it's like, that's the Juventud Guerrero match. Who cares? No. But we could have used this space more creatively. Instead, we got a random Juventud Guerrero match. Yeah, not yeah. So, you know, like the best things, you just kind of fall into it. Just It just happens.
I mean, to be fair, like those kind of emails, like you talk about, like, you know, sending those to your friends back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and that sort of thing. Like, those are the conversations that a lot of wrestling fans still have now. Very like directed, like segmented, like conversations about parts of shows and certain pieces of presentations, that sort of thing. Like, I feel like if you had people around you that you felt were like similarly passionate about that, like I could totally see why you did that with them, because these are the conversations, even if it wasn't over email, if you were like in person with them, like that, I feel like that might be a conversation that you might have with somebody like that. I know I've had conversations like that with people.
So. Yeah, I mean, I talked to them the next day, but I had to write it because I hate talking. I feel when I talk, I think much faster than I speak. So I'm constantly six words ahead. I'm like, wait, where was I going with that thought? But when I can write it, I can just, it just flows much better. So yeah, I was so, hey, did you read my email? All right, let me read so I can talk to you about it. It's just a dork.
See, I was familiar obviously with the stuff you done with G&G and like some of the stuff you've done with the Torch. I had no idea that it stretched back all the way to Wrestling Line in like the 90s with you, like in that way, because like, you know, I feel like, you know, obviously you mentioned the Aftermags and of course Wrestling Observer and the Torch, like those are like mainstays of what would become wrestling media, you know, the foundation that we have, so many other places have built on now for coverage and that sort of thing. But even back then, like, it's interesting to hear that like you had these, because I wasn't really engrossed in that during that era. Like, I don't think I think the first like wrestling news website I really found and latched onto was like Lords of Pain in like the mid 2000s. You know?
I know that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So like that was like my interest into like, oh, okay, this is how the internet talks about this stuff, and like I'm like, you know, that sort of thing. But to know like that stuff was still like around and accessible in a way for people that wanted to write about this and express that passion, like that's really interesting to hear.
Yeah, it was fun because, I mean, at least from 98 to 02, it was just a really hot time in wrestling too. So I think maybe people were just like, hey, we have all these eyeballs. We need something to fill these eyeballs. You have an idea, fuck it. It could have been the worst column in the world. Like, I don't even fucking remember. But they had the clicks. They needed these clicks to filter to something. They just gave me a space. And it was fun because I didn't have to watch and report back all the time. It was like I got 2 weeks to think about something I wanted to rant on. And it was never like, I hate this or I hate that. It would mostly just be like, hey, you know what? You should go back and watch Bash at the Beach 95. Not because it's good. Just because it's fun. Like, it's just that. Like, I've never been too concerned. That's a lot of the thing I don't like about wrestling media. It's such the same thing of, what's your favorite match? Who would you like to wrestle next? When you did this spot, were you like, I don't care. Like, I'm not a wrestler. I don't want to talk to you like I am going to be a wrestler or I have any idea what goes on in wrestling, because I don't. I just want to meet you as a person, and I kind of just want to fuck around and have fun, and whatever happens, happens. And they let me just come on and be like, yo, you have that NWO shirt still in your closet? How about you go put it on tomorrow? You trust me, you'll enjoy it. And the funny thing would be when you get like just three random people email you back, like, yo, I needed to hear that. And it's like, okay. Like, I can remember the first time I got a response, I thought I was like big shit. Like, oh, there's people reading my column. They're taking the time to respond to me like, you know what? I'm going to go put on my NWO shirt for real. And I'm like, yeah, I'm changing the world. If I got 25 reads on all of my columns combined, I'd be like, you know what? That's the victory for me, because it beats the three people I was emailing in high school. Like, fuck it.
Yeah. No, I mean, any kind of response like that, especially so early on in that too, like, I can imagine would be very impressionable in a way. Yeah. Especially not to mention like that age, like it doesn't take much to make you feel like hot shit. when you're in like when you're like 17, 18, like into the early 20s.
I would tell my girlfriend at the time, like, hey, guess who got a fan email right here? And it's the same person. I never told her it was the same person almost all the time. I'm like, that doesn't matter. You just need to know I got another email. Like, yeah. See, what a dork. Oh my God.
But if that's what makes it great though. It's because like we all have that dork in us, you know?
This is so funny because I was just telling I'm name dropping Kevin here. Kevin, PWI editor, I was just telling him something about being a dork. And then he's like, that's why you like wrestling. And I'm like, yeah, wrestling fans are dork. Whoa, does that make me a dork? And that just hit me like, oh, you idiot. You are such a dork. Like the fact that you just know the PWI editor essentially cements the fact you are a dork.
Yep. It's a cool thing, but it's also really dorky.
Oh, it is a cool thing to 100 people. Yep. But to those 100 people are like, yo, for real.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I don't make the list or nothing, but I know the guy who approves the list. So
exactly.
I'm kind of like a big deal.
There you go. We're just going right back to wrestling line days now.
To be the man, you got to know the man. And I know the man. Therefore, I guess I am one too. There we go.
Boom. Exactly. Let me ask you about like going to the torch, because obviously like on this show, we talk about the intersection of queerness and pro wrestling. And for the longest time, Wade Keller was really the only voice in pro wrestling media from our community, even though like he didn't necessarily cover pro wrestling in a way, like he didn't cover it from like the queer perspective. He covered it very much like a news perspective. I think many people would expect him to in the era that he came up in. Sure. But whenever you like reached out to him and he brought you on for NWA coverage, like you being a part of this community as well, like did that have any like level of impact with you to know that like you were emailing someone who was kind of a forerunner for us in this sector?
I'm going to tell you, I did not know that until last year.
Really?
I had no, and hold on. I will say this. I look at Wade and I'm like, But then I do that thing where I'm like, well, you know, I know black people, you know, white, well, I don't want to use the term gaydar anymore and shit, but I'm going to. Like, white gay, I don't really have it. But I'm like, could be. But I never thought, because the interaction I had with Wade was most through email. And it was like, we're covering NWA. We're so far down the pecking order. Like, that's why we could get away with so much. Because, like, who the hell cares? But that changed a lot. And I was like, oh, I had to, because when I was at the torch, I kind of hated Wade. I couldn't. However, I thought the work he did was great. So it was always this thing of, like, I respect you. I love your work. I just don't like having to deal with you. But if I had known that at the time, it would have helped a lot. I'd probably still be at the torch. So,
how do you think it would have helped?
I think once this was okay. So if I came out as non-binary 28, this is all about the same time. So I probably just came out just before the torch. So just knowing that there was someone else in the entire torch space would have helped, because I'm looking around. I'm like, okay, if I needed someone black to talk to, well, Cam's over there, Trav's over there. Like, I got that. And with Harley and them over here, they like women's wrestling. That's cool. But if I just knew like the top guy was on the team, that changes a lot. It just changes a lot. It just changes how you think about everything. It's like, are you willing to stick things out that you don't necessarily agree with a little bit more, because at the end of the day, kind of carrying the same banner. You tend to. Like, I know there's plenty of black people I do not like, but I will take their side just because. And if it ever came down to where we were having a team discussion about NWA coverage and somebody said something, and I'd be like, yo, you don't talk about Wade like that, because Wade's on the team. Can't do it. Like, it just, knowing that you're not alone, you just always feel much better. And if I had known that then, I was like, damn, why didn't anybody tell me this? And I don't know if everybody, I would be curious to know how many people who worked for the Torch at all know that. It's
Yeah.
just a, it's a, it's, yeah, it's one of those things where you get an email saying this and that, and that's about it. Like, maybe the longer you work there, like, I'm not Bruce. I'm sure Bruce and Wade, you know, that's different. But I'm brand new. Yeah, there's no, I just know, never knew. Never knew until randomly somebody mentioned. I was like, wait, Wade Keller? Damn. Why didn't nobody tell me that then? And not to say that, I mean, I will say, it was a lot of work for free. That is so much work. However, again, same teams, you kind of just suck things up more than you want to. So that's why I'm like, I probably would have done, I'd probably stick around a lot longer.
Yeah. It's interesting that you kind of bring up like all the work that you did for free, because I feel like that's also a larger conversation around like not just wrestling media, but digital media as well. Just kind of like how the landscape is changing a lot. And, you know, in wrestling media, I know like there's not a lot of places that pay really well, for writing and that sort of thing. And it's getting better, but like, I just go back to like, God, was it Josh Nason from Wrestling Observer? Like, I remember somebody from Wrestling Observer posted a job at opening ad or something like that. I want to say like in last year, 2021. And like, you know, a lot of people kind of jumped down their throat because like they were basically just like hiring for people that would be like paid in experience and like being like saying that you can, that you've written for the Wrestling Observer. And it's just like, I am pining for the days when we can move past that as like being something that is a regular thing that I see, that that the prestige of the, like, being paid in the prestige of having your name on this website, when in actuality, like, that the only name that is going to be thought about with that website is, in this case, like, Dave and Brian, you know? Like, I don't know, like, how did that strike you, like, in terms of like what we're seeing now in the development and the, I don't even know really the right word to describe what's happening in digital media right now.
This is where my age is the worst part, because to me, I said to myself, well, you know, I'm not getting paid. However, it's not like I can't say, well, I wrote for these people over here, and I know you know these people over here. So yeah, that paid job over there, if I can just say, hey, I got bylines all up and down his website, to me, that sounded like, okay, that's not quite a fair trade. However, it's feasible. And at the time, again, I was unemployed doing nothing. So it's like, you got to fill the hours with something. And it's a lot easier to swallow somehow. It's a lot easier to swallow doing wrestling media when you have no money and you're not getting paid than when you actually have a job. And then you're like, wait, I go to work and I come home to do more work and I'm doing it for free? And I'm doing it for shit. I don't even really like watching. We got a lot of problems now. That's why I would like joke about other people I knew on Twitch. I'm like, yo, y'all are watching 3 hours of Raw every Monday. And I don't think y'all are getting VIP membership for free. Like, this is the problem. And I would listen. And that's why I kind of just stopped subscribing to the Twitch. I'm like, this is just a mill for content and no one's getting the benefits of it except I get to put Torch in my Twitter bio. And it's like, who the fuck cares? Like, I'm not even going to elaborate on that. Who the fuck cares? Okay, I worked for the Torch for a time. Does that change any fucking thing at all? No. No one who watches wrestling is going to take me any more seriously because I once used to write for the Torch. The one thing it did, I'll tell you what it did. Now I know Kevin. So, yeah. Like, that's the thing. And it's good that there's younger people coming through the pipeline who are like, if I'm gonna do this shit for free, I'm gonna do it for myself. And it's like, I appreciate that because like, at the end of the day, your name's the only one you can actually lift. Like, if you're gonna do a lot of work for free, lift your own goddamn name up. Don't lift up somebody else's name. And it took younger people for me to be like, yeah, that work the attitude I have in my job where I'm like, I might talk to management. We ain't fucking friends. I might know the owners. We might text because the owner's also my direct boss. That's not, I can bring that motherfucker a donut just because I have an extra donut though. Like, but for some reason with there, I had just blindness because I'm like, but this is how journalism works, right? You just kind of do the grunt shit. And then eventually something just trickled. Like, I don't know what that, like, was Bite This going to come back? And WWE is going to be like, yo, would you like to host the new segment on Bite This? And I'm like, yes, totally. No, that was never going to fucking happen. And you come to grips with, so why am I really doing this? And thank God for that COVID shutdown, because I was looking at NWA. And I'm like, I don't like watching this anymore. When you talk about it, it's clear none of us like watching this show anymore. How much longer do I need to go just go through the motions? And I'm paying for the pay-per-views to, like, I'm paying for the VIP membership on the website I work for while also buying shows I have to watch to talk about on the website I work for. One good thing COVID did for me, just sucked me right out of the torch, and I've never looked back.
Yeah.
No offense to anybody who's throwing the torch. If you're on the torch, yo. I get it. I totally get it, because it's the fucking torch. It is still a big deal. However, there's going to come a time where you have to wake up and be like, yo, do I want to keep doing this for shits and giggles because it's going to say I work for the torch? Or is it time to move on? And I feel like everybody's just...
Yeah. No, I mean, I bring this up because, like, I've had a similar experience. Like, I'm not sitting here like on like some pedestal, like looking down, like, why aren't you all writing for pay? I wrote for experience. I wrote for places and didn't get paid shit, like didn't get paid at all. You know, shout out Twinfinite. You know, like, I've had my pay fucking fucked with, you know, from time to time. Like, I've left jobs over it, you know, like shout out Crave Online. Like, you know, like I like, I speak to this from, like, my own experience of just, like, you need to make sure that the work you are putting in is paying off for you specifically, you know, because these, like, outlets, you know, a lot of them are just there to churn out what they can and then onboard more people that will keep doing it. And then I'm very happy to see, like, the growth of Patreon, obviously, and now, like, the growth of Substack, despite some of the fucking politics of that website and the people that run it. Substack has been a really good thing for a lot of people in the wrestling sphere, and people willing to really bet on themselves and build their own profile in that way, covering things they love to cover. All right, Jens, thank you so much for tuning into LGBT in the Ring. We'll get right back into the thick of things, but I do want to take a pause real quick and say thank you to some amazing people that make this show as rad as it is. Starting off with Daniel Quasar, the Progress Pride Flag designed by Daniel Quasar is a product of Progress Initiative. You can find out more at quasar.digital. A big thank you to Sarah and the Safe Word for the show's theme song, Formula 666, off the album Red Hot and Holy. You can find them on Twitter at STSWBand, and you can check out their music on both Spotify and Bandcamp at sarahinthesafeword.bandcamp.com. Check out independentwrestling.tv for the best in current and classic independent pro wrestling, including live events from top independent promotions worldwide. You can use our promo code LGBTRingPod or visit tinyurl.com/IWTVLGBT and peruse their entire library over there at independentwrestling.tv. Once again, promo code LGBTRingPod or go to tinyurl.com/IWTVLGBT. Check out that service. You can follow the show on Twitter at LGBTRingPod. You can follow me on Twitter at WonderboyOTM. And if you're into video games, definitely check out my video game news show, the Mr. Video Game Super Show. I co-host that with Twitch streamers Slacker Kite and Lady Merowin every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific over on twitch.tv/DeadSunEntertainment. It's your weekly roundup of gaming news, and it's always a blast. So once again, check that out every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific over at twitch.tv/DeadSunEntertainment. Sun like the star. We'll be right back with more LGBT in the Ring.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Talk to me about Grit and Glitter a little bit, because like obviously you came on, like Stardom was your entry point there a bit. And then you got to do like some more interesting stuff there in the time that you were on the show. Like what was your experience like working with the team there? Such an expansive team of people too. Yeah. It was considered like all the members of the Glitterati that were there. And just how do you remember that experience?
They were responsible mostly for my shift of televised wrestling to mostly everything I watch is probably IWTV now.
Like, yeah.
It was at that time before when I just started getting Grit and Glitter, it was I watched Stardom, I watched Pro Wrestling Eve. That was really about it. And there was just a bunch of people who come on like a random Pro Wrestling Eve show and the crowd would know. I'm like, how the hell do they know this person? I've never heard of them a day in my life. I didn't think like, oh, well, it's because independents are still running around, you idiot. Like, yeah. So that was always the good part where they would just talk about companies and shows. I'm like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? And it opened up my eyes to like most of my favorite wrestlers now, I would think are almost entirely independent. And they might even like, I don't even think, I'm going to say probably if I had to write down like 15 people I love the most now. It all comes from doing Grit and Glitter and just shifting everything I knew to independent wrestling, especially locally. Like, it helped that I moved back to DC at the time where DC was recreating a hotbed for wrestling. And I was doing a podcast about independent wrestling geared for women in wrestling at the same time where DC was having a renaissance of independent wrestling, especially featuring women. It was just like a perfect storm. And it just really got creative juices flowing to where I was like, you know, we do these things where like at first it'd be Emily and I teaming on interviews because I'd never liked being in the driver's seat. I don't like being responsible for the whole thing. I'm a number two. I'll never like being a number one because I'll just do it all myself. And then I'll hit you and myself at the end of it. Or if I'm a number two, you know, there's some separation. I can still be myself, but also give you what you need. And I don't have to sacrifice myself for it. And I hate being someone I'm not. And there would be times where I would listen to interviews and I'm like, that was a good question, but that was just an interview question. It wasn't a question I really wanted to know. And it's like one time I can remember we were talking with Session Moth Martina, which I mean, I fucking love Session Moth Martina. She might still be my favorite. Right? Oh, she's one of the three. And I just wanted to ask like a simple question of, you do these death matches, what the hell is the shower like after? That's the only question I really wanted to know because I am so intrigued by people who do these death matches and you know you have to shower after. How intense is that pain? And it didn't get the green light. And I'm like, whatever the next question was just like some tragically cliche wrestling question for sure. But I'm like, I left the interview, I'm like, that was fun, but I didn't learn the one thing I really wanted to know. And it was just, what does a death match feel like in the shower right after? So that's when I started to think of, okay, I've done the group interviews and we've done the round panel for shows, but what if I just do my kind of thing? And well, what is your kind of thing? I was like, I'm asking this to myself. I'm like, I don't know. Just, I'll figure it out. And the first person I needed like a test launch, and I remember just sending a message to Freya the Slayer, like, look, I am trying to do this thing on my own. And I remember seeing you on NWA, and I remember just talking you up to the moon because I'm like, yo, I need to see more of this woman wrestle wherever the hell she is, because she's just, everything about her is great. And that was the first one. And the interview was kind of standard, but the thing I did at the end was like, I'm just going to ask you 5 random questions. And you just answer them how you want to answer them. And it was just dumb shit. Like, yo, you're on a road trip. You go to a gas station. What's the first thing you grab? And it was so interesting to see how people, well, especially how she went from being Freya the Slayer to just being a person having a conversation just that quickly. And it was like, I need to do that. I need to do that. Like, I know we need to get the things that people want. Well, I don't know if people want to know the things that we ask, but people, we at least have the idea that people want to know who's your favorite match, what got you into wrestling, who trained, all that shit. You can just Google and find out very quickly. We still have this understanding that, fake understanding that people need to know these things in every interview. And I'm like, no, you people just let the wrestlers be the characters they are and just let them kind of work in bits of their real self. And it's just trying to do that. And the next interview I did alone was with Sazzy Boatwright. And we lost it. I did not get saved to the cloud. And I was so goddamn mad because it was just two people just riffing. Like, I had a script or not script. I had questions I want to ask. I mean, like 2 questions, and I was like, fuck this. We're just going to wing it because this is just fun. And to this day, like, every time I see Sazzy, it's just like, we're just going to hang out. Like, that's because of that one interview, because it wasn't an interview. And I'm like, yo, that's been the most fun I've had doing any podcasting and wrestling so far. It's just not talking about wrestling. How can I do more of not talking about wrestling while kind of talking about wrestling? And it made sense to me because, like, I listened to a lot of talk radio growing up. I still do. I mean, podcasts, I'm going to qualify as talk radio. But, like, my favorite sports radio shows were shows that talked about sports without talking about sports. And that's where I was like, how do I do that here? So it just became, we'll tangibly talk about wrestling. But it's mostly just you to get some character. And I would email also, like, look, if you want to shoot on me, fucking shoot on me. I don't care. Like, I just want you to have fun. Like, if you're having fun, trust me, the rest will take care of itself. I'm never going to ask you, so what was the first match you remember? Like, I will never ask you that in your lifetime. I just want you to know we're trying to get you over. That's all this is about. Get this person over. And if I can get you that much more over, and for people listening, it's, you know, space between your thumb and finger. That's the thing we all do. Like, that's, then I felt like that was just fun. And the more I would do, like, when the last interview I did was with Birds on Film, just talking about summer movies. It had nothing to do with wrestling. It was just, I have an idea. Y'all like reviewing movies. Why don't we just talk about fucking movies? And I told Erica, and she's like, for a wrestling show? I'm like, I mean, it's only, y'all are wrestlers, right? So you technically fit. Like, let's just talk about movies. Like, this is clearly something y'all love. Y'all love movies. Y'all don't love back body drops. Let's talk movies. And that's when I was like, okay, I think we're hitting a stride. And, you know, then I kind of lost it. Like, it got to the same point of the torch where you realize, like, oh man, I'm doing a lot of work here. Am I having fun anymore? And if you can't have fun doing something for free, you probably shouldn't be doing it anymore. And it just, the twinkle just got lost because I'm like, yo, this is at the churning out of content. And I was only doing like an interview a month, maybe, because I had to think so hard about how am I going to tie this random ass concept to pro wrestling, because Harley's got to hear it. There's got to be wrestling at the end of this somewhere. And it's like, well, they got a match somewhere. I don't know. Like, they got a catalog of matches. Just find one. But I just want to, like, I remember one time I was really, really going to just, and this, I've never told anybody, I was just going to flow out the idea of shooting out to Max and Pell. Let's just talk about your favorite toys. Toys you loved as a kid, toys you love now. I don't give a fuck about any of the wrestling shit. I just wanted to see, what would it be like if I talked to Max for just 5 minutes about toys? And I only wanted to do 5 minutes because do you really want 10 minutes of Max Impaler in Max Impaler form? You really only need 2. Let's do 5. Fuck it. Yeah. And every time I'm about to send an email, I'm like, am I just doing this for myself though? Because I'm just kind of curious, like, what person like this play with as a child? Because they were clearly a regular child at some point. But I kind of didn't want it to be real. I kind of wanted to be like, you know, like severed baby's heads. Like, oh, okay, interesting. And then I was like, all right, this is now we're going crazy. Like, this isn't going to work. And that's when I was like, all right. So I'm trying to find my next idea. And it was like, why am I doing? You can have a good thing and get too much of that good thing too quickly. And then that good thing is no longer good. And I feel like, I'm saying green glitter is no longer good. It's just for me at times, it's like, I don't know what I want to do. I want to do more of this, but I want to do even less wrestling. Like, I want to do it to where the only wrestling we're doing is, hey, so you are X, right? Yes. You're a professional wrestler, right? Yes. Okay, done. That's it. Now we're moving on to breakfast foods or just anything else in the goddamn world because these people have to wrestle all the time, but they never get to just like be a character outside of a couple hits on Twitter, you know, a couple things tacked on to the beginning of the matches. When do they just get to sit down and like, would you like to hear President McMurphy talk about breakfast cereals? Who, like, I don't know what Killian would talk about breakfast cereal, but I bet you it's fucking great. And that's all I want to do. Just let people be the characters they are, and let's just have some fun. And I don't think there's a lot of that in wrestling media. I think most wrestling podcasts, and there's 8 jillion of them. There's more wrestling podcasts than wrestlers, wrestling shows, and cities in the world right now. You cannot go on YouTube or on Spotify or Apple Podcast. You can't. Your next door neighbor probably knows somebody who does a wrestling podcast or does a wrestling podcast themselves. And it's the exact same format. It's just like, yo, that's fine. If I had thought about it, I should have said, what if I just spin off my own show on a network? You know what? Bookmark that. I will think about that for future reference. I will, that's, yo, anybody out there who wants just a wacky wrestling show, holler at me. But yeah, like Grin Glitter was fun because I got to figure out what I like doing. And, but I needed that original background of this is how we do it. This is how everybody does it. You need to know the format before you can just venture off into uncharted land. And it was good to know that because I could have never just went in face first, like, yo, I don't know. Like when we talked to Jordan Blade, we did like a real wrestling interview. And but it was a really good one. And I'm like, I would kind of like just to know more about Jordan Blade, like more than just a wrestler. Like, yo, so I don't know, like, where's your favorite place to eat in Richmond? Like, what do you do in Richmond when you're not out here breaking ankles and shit? Like, just what's something we could do to where Jordan can be more Jordan, less whatever Jordan the wrestler? Not that I'm picking on Jordan Blade, because again, love Jordan Blade. It's just, I am someone who likes minutiae. I love minutiae. And it's like Seinfeld's still my favorite TV show because it's just 30 minutes about one tiny thing, just joke after joke. It's like, how do I make Seinfeld a wrestling podcast? That's essentially what I was trying to do.
No, I mean, there's a lot there that I think a lot of that people can glean from that too. And honestly, like it's very similar to my experience as well. Like, you know, like yeah, we're coming up on like 200 episodes of the show, but like learning about like developing your own voice when doing like interviews and stuff like that is something that is one, it's incredibly valuable once you do get there and realize like what you want to do, how you want to do it, how you want to structure things and that sort of stuff. But it can also be very daunting because, you know, it almost feels like there's a rule set at the very beginning that you have to learn and follow in a way. And I think that's where a lot of people might get stuck. And this isn't to criticize anyone in particular or anything like that at all. Being like we all do our own thing and that sort of thing. But like in crafting like the way that I do interviews on this show, like I feel like yes, you want to hit the wrestling stuff. Yes, you want to hit like these like key things about this person, but there's also a lot of value in letting them show the all dimensions of themselves and not just the wrestler there. Like some of my favorite conversations with people have been like, you know, I think Killian and I talked about Sonic the Hedgehog for like 20 minutes on this show at one point, which was really cool.
That's
like
we have first Killian really likes Sonic.
Oh, so Killian really likes Sonic.
This is not a gimmick. This dude loves Sonic.
And Killian is not the only one, because I feel like I had like a conversation about Sonic the Hedgehog with J Rose as well on this show. Like I don't know what the through line with Sonic in pro wrestling is right now, but it's there. But like you want to like give people the chance to show humanity and to show more of themselves, and that's really where you can start to distinguish yourself. Like I love the idea of whatever you had Erica and Dust on to talk about movies, because like it was just so different, but they brought the same passion that they do to talking about pro wrestling to this, because there's a distinct passion there and they're doing it. Birds on Film is just such an intriguing YouTube channel right now because of the way that they cover this stuff or the way that they talk about this stuff and put those discussions out there. And just to make this like full circle in a lot of ways, like I feel like for me, what brought that mindset to me for interviews was going back to college radio and going back to Waffle House specifically, because whenever I started with college radio, like one of my first friends in college radio, who I'm still friends with today, Sarah Rose, who does the theme song for the show with her band, like she hosted a show where she was interviewing bands and stuff like that. And her final question of every interview was like, when you go to Waffle House, how do you get your hash browns? And it was just like,
chunk, pepper, diced, and cap.
There you go. See, but like me, like one of my like first stepping into that realm and thinking about like, okay, well, this is how you do an interview. It's like very structured. It's blah, blah, blah. But then like, you go in and like the first person you meet and befriend in this world is someone who is willing to ask Hawthorne Heights how they get their fucking hash browns done at 2 a.m. on the side of the road. Like it kind of opens up this idea of like, okay, then there are rules, but you can break them to what you want them to be. And I feel like hearing you talk about what you want to do and how you've developed these ideas for a content that you would want to do, like that's, I gather the same passion and the same idea there.
You should make content. Content creators, stop making content that you think people want. Make the content you want, and the people who want that will find it. Like, that's just the nutshell. There's a jillion podcasts in the world, and I feel like, I think I read like something like 95% are begging just to get to 1,000 people. And it's like, 1,000 sounds like nothing. 1,000 is a lot of people. Like,
yeah.
You don't know 1,000 people. So the fact that to get 300 people listening to your random thoughts or whatever, it's like, there are 300 people out here who want to hear me talk about bullshit. What finds you? Like, I know I listen to podcasts where I'm like, I feel like I must be the only person who knows this podcast exists, because who the hell else would care about this random fucking, I can't even think of one now. But still, you all know you have podcasts. You're like, yo, this is not the podcast you'll find ever on the top 100, 200, 300 chart. It will be maybe top podcast played on a Thursday between the hour of 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. only on Thursdays in DC at your house. And it's like, okay, cool. But I felt like, especially with Erica and Dust, like I felt they were the first persons. And really, if I think about it entirely, my podcasting idea came from what I saw coming out of DC wrestling, where, you know, I would watch EO wrestle with Jordan, and I would watch EO wrestling at Flying V, and I'd watch EO wrestling wrestle at Beyond. And it was never the same EO, but it was always the same EO. And it's like, okay. And I see Erica just be a clown and then still kick your ass and then go back to being a clown. And Dust, I don't think as of right now, between Dust and Killian, I don't know if there's any two more creative people. And Billy. Sorry, Billy. fair. But still, for the wacky, just offbeat shit, like Dust and Killian, like the second I saw them, I was like, oh, I get this. I can't explain to you what this is, but I totally get it. And it just, I mean, of course, this is all the same group of people. I'm like, well, why do they all have this thing that I get? I want to do that thing. And yeah, so I guess I just got a lot of inspiration, especially Erica. I've never told Erica that, but Erica and Dust especially, like, I'm like, yo, they just do things because they just want to do it. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of how it should be. You do things because you want to do them. And if somebody likes it, great. If nobody likes it, do you still like doing it? Then keep doing it.
Yeah. I mean, that's really at the heart of this. If you don't like what you're doing, then how can you continue to like muster up the passion and the drive to keep doing it? You really have to think about yourself as well as, you know, to some extent an audience there, but like it really comes to, it starts and ends with the person that is putting the work into it and whether you feel like you are accomplishing something for yourself or fulfilling yourself in that way. So it's interesting to like, you bring that up, like how all these people around the DC wrestling scene now are like, because are like being like this inspiration for you. And because DC, you know, and I'm not going to like sit here and say that like I'm some kind of like historian or anything, but like DC was dead for a long time when it came to pro wrestling. And, you know, like that first Butch versus Gore show, like really, like it really reinvigorated stuff. But now like you're seeing like you said, Flying V and the stuff that Pro Wrestling 5 is doing down there, even like companies like EWA running up in the Baltimore area. Yeah. Like, you know, like it feels like the scene is starting to come back a bit with a completely different energy because of the people that brought it back. And it's very telling that different energy is coming at the same time that you have the people that are bringing that scene back being a majority queer and majority people of color. And you get to see like, okay, well, if we put different power structures in place or put different people to feel empowered to do what they want to do, you are going to get something that feels different because of what we've historically seen in pro wrestling.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like, I can remember so when I went to my first Flying V show, I didn't know anything about it. I just knew it was wrestling. Just outside of DC, I was like, I can hop on a train and go three stops and go see that. Sure, why not? And I'm like, these are all the people I love. Oh, okay. And I'm like, wait, why is this show so good, but it doesn't feel like a rep? Like, I don't know if this is a stage play so much, because it's not, but it has like stage play elements, but it's still wrestling. But I don't know what this is, but why didn't I have this in DC when I was growing up? Like, where was this? Like, we got Starrcade in DC, and you know, we had Great American Bash and Ball. That was like, you bookmarked. You knew Great American Bash at the Ball Arena. You knew Starrcade was at MSI Center. And then WCW went away, and it was like, well, guess what? You might get a Raw every year, and that's about it. As far as like, I mean, Maryland Championship Wrestling was still a lot running shows. But
yeah, Scott, how can I forget about MCW?
Yeah, like if you don't drive, I'm not going all the way up to Joppa, Maryland from DC. So it's like, okay, outside of MCW, like who else is running this territory or this region or whatever? And I didn't even know most of these people were at like from the area. It was just like, I like you and I like you and they're like, oh wait, y'all all from the same, wait, y'all are from my neck of the woods. But wait, y'all are all like funny too. Well, shit, this is like the wrestling I've been waiting for in my adulthood. Like I've had my childhood wrestling. Now I'm like, I just want to watch fun wrestling. Like I don't need to be so serious. I don't need to sit down and debate like, yo, is Roman Reigns' title running good for the company? I don't give a shit. You know what's fun? Birds on film. Like that's not wrestling, but it's wrestling. Fuck it, I'll take it. And then the more you realize, kind of everything is just pro wrestling. Like everything is pro wrestling. And it kind of just makes everything much more funny. If you can see the pro wrestling in life, suddenly it's like, oh, okay, this is I can do this. It's fun. Yeah. So it really, I mean, this was just a perfect storm. Like I said, like, I came back home to a hot territory with people who had similar senses of humor or just creativity of me. And it was like, and again, all queer people mostly. It was like, how do I support this over and over and over again? Yeah. You got, and it's the same thing I said about weight. Like, when you know people are in your tribe, you go to bat harder. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I will fight for these people until I'm blue in the face, because I just genuinely love and believe in the people from this region, because they've inspired so much in me. And like, I wouldn't know you right now if these people weren't coming out of this hotbed and doing what they're doing. So if I had to really think about it, the goons in America, I owe pretty much all my interest in wrestling media and wrestling as a whole right now, because if I don't find them, I'd probably be watching AEW just hating myself. That's a women's wrestling thing, not to make y'all AEW people all upset. I don't want the mentions. Like, I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, mentions are never good. No.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you found that for yourself, and I'm glad that it did bring it to the point where we were able to meet and have like the friendship that we do, even though we don't talk as often, but still, like, it's, I don't know, I'm glad that I met.
I'm always around. Like,
oh, I know,
I am always afraid to approach other people, because I don't, the anxiety thing and me, like, I don't want to interrupt somebody's busy day. Meanwhile, I'm over here, I never have shit going on. I am such a homebody. Like, I am done from work at noon. I am just done with life. Like, I do, like, look, it's 3 o'clock and I'm just sitting here. Like, that's a you thing. That's not a me.
Oh, no, trust me. I know it's a me thing, because, like, my friends tell me all the time, like, I am the worst at, like, returning texts or, like, reaching out to people. I get sucked into shit, and, like, I'm bad about it at times. So, like, that is definitely a me thing, but I'm willing to admit it.
You're about to get a whole lot now. You've just done the worst thing.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm cool with it. So I guess, like, as we, like, wind down here, should we, like, you know, you have this passion now. You're not attached to Grit and Glitter anymore. Like, what do you see as, like, the next thing for you, or is this media landscape something that you want to stay in?
That's the question. Like, I know, I'm not even going to lie. Like, there's times where I will just go back and listen to the interview with Burrs on film, just because it was just fun. And I'm like, yeah, I miss doing that. Like, I miss just fun interviews. I desperately needed the time away. Like, I mean, one, I got sick, and then that just, you know, you start to really evaluate, like, how much you really want to do things if you're just laying in a hospital bed vomiting for 2 weeks. Like, you start to think about, what can I cut out of my life? And now it's like, okay, we're getting into a new year now. I'm getting antsy. It's like, what's next? It's like, I would like to say, sometimes I think about just doing, like, a monthly podcast. And I'm like, but I don't want to, as much as I just said earlier, create content for yourself. Don't do it for somebody else. I also said, I'm not a number one. I'm a number two. Like, I am not about to sit up here and create my own podcast. Like, I'm never going to do that. But there's still that room in the market, as saturated as it is, for just offbeat conversations. And I think my brand of minutia loving and anxious brain energy just coalesces into strange art somehow that just gets something out of people. I can't explain it. I don't know. I would love to keep doing that, but I also still kind of want to write stuff. Like, I don't want to, what's the stuff? Like, I don't want to ever write about a wrestling show ever again. Like, to the point where, that was another thing. I hated going to wrestling shows knowing I was probably going to talk about it. Like, then you don't get to just experience a wrestling show. And it's like, well, if I can't be a fan anymore, what is this all for? But if I do my wacky shit, well, that's not wrestling anyway, so who cares? So it's trying to figure out, well, okay, where do I want to do this at? That's one. And then the second thing is, well, if I wanted to write about wrestling, what the hell do I want to write? And it sometimes is more like, sometimes when I read PWI, I just read like 12 random questions. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of all I really just, that's just my life. Like, I am the person who texts people, what's your favorite state shape? And no one's ever has an answer. And I'm like, how do y'all not think of questions like these? Because these are all the things to think about. If there's a favorite to be had in any category, I probably have a favorite, because how could you not? Like, I have a favorite eye of the stove. I have a favorite outlet in the house. Like, I don't see. So yeah, like I would text my friend, hey, what's your favorite body of water? And they're like, it's like 7 a.m. I'm like, did you not have a favorite body of water yesterday? Like, you never thought about it once? So it's like that. That's, I'm looking to do my off-brand shit for someone who's like, I don't get it, but, or even if they do get it, fuck it, you want to do it here? And I'm like, yeah, we can try it. Like, you know, that's, yeah, you know, this is probably word vomit. I just want to have fun and do things semi-regularly. Like the churn and burn of weekly or even bi-weekly, hell, even monthly to it. Well, monthly's okay. But like the weekly and bi-weekly is like, it's so hard.
It's
so,
a grind. Yeah,
it's a lot, especially when you get like the group chat and it's like, yo, we don't have a show for next week. It's like, oh, fuck. Well, I got this kind of thing I've been thinking on for a grander project, but I guess I can just whittle it down and do it for next week if you need it. It's like, but then I never get the satisfaction of the grander thing like I wanted to do. So, yeah. In fact, if you want to know who ever heard all of these, it's like every time I pitched a story to Kevin, he's like, okay, that's so big in scope. Like, full lines of the Iliad and the Odyssey to write an article about Megan Bain. And it's like, that's crazy. No one needs to do that. But I'm like, I'm looking at her, I'm like, but she's Greek mythology. Like, there's so many lines I can think of in the Iliad right now where I could say, I accept the next three paragraphs from that one line. And it's like, yeah. Well, one, we already got somebody to do one that just came out too. Like, that's just a lot. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. Like, so it's like that place where it's like, you're kind of out there, but you know what? Ah, fuck it, let's do it. It's like, yeah, so now I've got to practice just doing out there shit. So that's just making it a more regular thing.
Nah, I love the idea of more out there shit, honestly. Like, it's refreshing. It's the kind of stuff that I will go to and listen to, honestly. It's like, that's just what draws me in. Because like you said, so many wrestling podcasts are just the same thing over and over again. I at this point, like, for me to engage with something, I need it to be different, have a different flavor to it, you know, a different focus. So, and actually, let's end this by flipping the tables a little bit. You have all these favorites that you like to ask people. You can throw a couple at me if you want to.
Oh, okay.
I'm curious.
Let's see. Okay. What is, there's a question I like to ask, but people never have, nobody ever has an answer immediately. What is a word that you like to say, but don't like how it's spelt or written? And what is a word that you like how it looks, but don't necessarily like how it sounds?
God, that's a thinker.
Yeah.
Okay. This might be a little like weird, but like for me, I really like saying the word moist, but it looks wrong on paper for me in a way. Like I like reading it makes me feel like, because there's such a visceral reaction for a lot of people to that word that, yeah, I feel like I don't get it. Like I get it, but I personally don't get that reaction when hearing it. For some reason, reading it makes my, like, I don't like how my creative brain goes.
It's not a person. It's looking at the word, it doesn't, yeah, it does, like the way it feels in your mouth, moist, like it feels fun.
Yeah. It's a very word fun on, word to say.
On the page, it's like, what is this? Like, no. That's like how I feel about mayonnaise. Like, I don't like how I say it, but I like how it looks on paper. That's how this mm-hmm. question started originally. Because I'm like, the word mayonnaise just looks so pretty.
Yeah.
But then the actual thing that is kind of gross. The way you say it's kind of gross. What it actually is kind of gross. But as a word on paper, it's beautiful.
Yes. God, what was can you say the second half of that again for me?
So it was a word you like to say, but don't like the look of, and a word you like the look of, don't necessarily like how it sounds.
Okay. You would think I would have one on the go, just considering how many words I write.
No, because no one ever just has immediately answered these questions. No one ever, like, oh, I've been waiting for somebody to ask me this random bullshit.
You know what? A word like that for me probably is inaugural. In a way. Like, one, because, like, just the way that I... God.
Yeah, when you said it, it didn't really...
Yeah.
But you at it. I don't know if I'm that crazy. But this is your answer. It's not my answer.
Exactly. Like, I think it's just because it's a word that I use so much that, mm-hmm. like, now, like, it still has the power that it does because, like...
I must say, very heavy word.
It's a very, very heavy word. It is. And I do like it to an extent, but I will say this, I will be glad whenever I don't have to use it as much in what I cover for gotcha. Pro wrestling.
Gotcha. Okay. You know,
yeah. I'll be glad when we get to the point where we don't have so many firsts, especially in 2023. I'll be very happy.
Favorite Canadian province.
Mm.
For any reason. It doesn't have to be for a reason. It could just be because fuck it. It just sounds good.
I will say British Columbia because I have the Pacific Northwest love.
Yeah.
And for a long time, it was Alberta just because Calgary. And I grew up on Bret Hart a lot. Okay. So it would have been that for a while. But now being out in this area and like seeing all of the really interesting stuff that pro wrestling wise that's going on in and around Vancouver, British Columbia is there with a bullet for me.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Okay. How do you eat your hash browns at Waffle House?
Oh, scattered, covered, peppered.
Yeah. I don't feel you with the cover. I hate cheese, but the pepper. If you have hash browns at Waffle House, no jalapeno peppers, what the fuck are you even there for? Go to Huddle
exactly.
House.
Exactly.
Like, we don't want you.
The thing is, like, see, with yours, like, I hate mushrooms. So, like, I couldn't. I do. I hate mushrooms. I can't stand them. They taste like dirt to me.
Yeah, but these are Waffle House mushrooms. They're probably not even real mushrooms.
Oh, I understand that. They probably are not at all. But at the same time, like, it's just like if I know there's a mushroom in it, even if it's not really a mushroom, if I know they're calling something a mushroom in there, I'm going to think it's a mushroom, and that's all I'm going to taste. So, that's, like...
Yeah, I get it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Favorite ocean? Ooh. Can't say Pacific, so you got to pick from the other three.
Okay, that's fine. I'll go Atlantic. I was probably, honestly, even putting Pacific back in, I'll probably still go Atlantic because like that's the ocean I grew up on. Well, I didn't grow up on the ocean, but that's the ocean I grew up going to. You know, also honorable mention, Gulf of Mexico. Like I spent so many summers on the Gulf.
Well, it's not like, ocean.
Yeah, but that's why I say honorable mention. We'll tack it on.
Okay, well, I'll change it to body of water. There, now we're covered.
Body of water, Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the Gulf is great. The Gulf is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss North Florida. And, mm-hmm. okay, here's your last one. I guess I love it. Favorite state shape? Because there's only one answer. I think there's two answers that I accept.
Favorite state shape?
Yeah.
God, that is tough. Because, like, there's two that pop up in my mind immediately for me. For very different reasons. One is Montana, because I love how like the border like forms a face in a way. Like that's just always kind of stood out to me since like growing up as a kid. And then it's obviously the joke is always that Florida just looks like a penis. So it's just there. Like that's just the thing. Like it's just that's the immature like 7-year-old Brian that never left. That's just still there.
The correct answers were West Virginia and Minnesota. But
really? Why is that?
Well, West Virginia looks like bagpipes. I just think that's so cute.
Well, that is
like
true.
Bagpipes in the middle of the country. And West or Minnesota has just, if you're not looking, you would never notice. But it's just this little notch at the top that's just there. And if you didn't know why it was there, you'd be like, what the fuck is this thing? And it's more for water and some beef with Canada, one of those stupid things. The third answer I'll accept is maybe Kentucky, because it's got this little circle off closer to Missouri that's not connected to anything, but it's still technically Kentucky. So your answer is wrong.
That's fine. I've been wrong many times.
But your answers to you can never be wrong, but to the standards and practices of the board of favorites, they're incorrect.
That's fine. I've never been one to please everybody. So, and also, may I just say, hearing you refer to Missouri like that just brought me so much joy, because I just don't get that accent. I don't get that. Like, it brings me back to like childhood, like the accents, Southern accents, and like being out here. Like, you just don't get it. You just don't hear it that often anymore. So, like, because that's how I say it too. Like,
it's Missouri. What else is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Missouri.
Exactly.
And if you're from Missouri and don't know it's Missouri, I don't know where you've been the last however long you've been alive. It's Missouri. Everybody knows it.
Exactly. Chewy, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Let everybody know where they can find you online. If you want to.
Yeah, you can find me. I tweet a lot at Cochino Chewy. I'm not even going to spell it out. You just have to find it. Fuck it. I don't owe you anything. But if you like, let's see. What do I tweet a lot about? I tweet random shit. Like, honest to God, I'm probably a terrible follower, because I just, whatever I'm thinking at the very moment, I'm like, I must share this to nobody, because I still treat Twitter as tweeting into the ether, where apparently it's not that, but who cares? But if I will tweet about wrestling, music, probably getting high a lot, and I'll probably talk shit. Yeah, I'll definitely talk a lot of shit. And if you like people talking shit to Billy Dixon, I'm definitely a good follow for that. And if you like people killing McMurphy's ass, I am an even better follow for that. So if you're into either of those, I got you covered there. I'm on Instagram the same name. In fact, you can just find me Cochino Chewy everywhere. It's become a brand. I have a brand.
Lord. Oh, thank you, Chewy.
Thank you so much.
My thanks once again to Chewy for taking the time to sit down and chat with me about their experiences and their very refreshing desires of what they want to do continuing in the pro wrestling world. And I will say, I was very neglectful not to mention Fight Club Pro Wrestling as another company that is really reinvigorating DC and the surrounding area with what they are doing there. So definitely add them into the mix there as companies that are really changing and challenging the perceptions of pro wrestling through this renaissance of the DC area of pro wrestling. Whew. Well, that is going to do it for us here this week. Come back next week. We will have obviously another episode that we will continue on with Journo January. I'm very excited for our guest next week as well, and you'll find out who that is soon enough. But until then, y'all stay messy, wash your hands, wear your mask, get vaccinated and boosted if at all possible. The same goes for monkeypox. And I may have some more interesting news coming out before we talk again. just keep your eyes open. Bye.
In the bridge, she made a deal with the demon so a lover could live. But the moon is high and the devil is driving stick. It's the formula 666.